to me, I be work, 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 work. You see me do me dirt, 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 dirt. Tell me better work, 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 work. Will you work? Welcome to WitWorks Radio. It is Tuesday, June 4th, and this is Abby Pober from Co-ops and Careers, and I am here with two wonderful colleagues and two student staff members that I'm excited to introduce with you, so I'm going to let them take it away.
Hi, it's Rhea Kalinowski. I'm back again. And we're, like Abby said, we're excited to get started with our conversation.
And Kristen Ekman is also here. I'm the operations coordinator at Co-ops and Careers. And today we invited two of our fabulous office assistants to talk about what it's like being of the iGen generation and how this affected their last co-op. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves.
Well, I'm Gabby. I'm a mechanical engineer. I'm a junior, and I've been working with the Co-ops and Careers office for 3 years now.
Yay!
And I'm Kristen. I'm a senior in computer science, and I've been working with the Co-op office for 4 years now.
Woo!
Awesome. So we are going to dive right in with, if you could, both tell us a little bit about your last co-op. You did.
Just the last one?
Or both? Your most recent.
Okay. My last co-op was at Harvard at FAS, so their undergraduate school of education, and I was doing IT with them.
And I worked with Collins Aerospace back in my hometown in Connecticut, and I was doing optical manufacturing for them.
Awesome. So could you elaborate a little bit? So like, what was a day in the life of you on co-op? What kind of tasks would you work on?
Would vary. There was most days, depending on what we were working on, if we had project deadlines or if they needed me to do drawings. So most of my work, I was just doing Creo drawings, which is different because I learned SOLIDWORKS here. So it was a process of learning and understanding Creo. But then there was, as I progressed through co-op, you know, I got into more, you know, upper level work and, you know, learning more information about the company. And it was really fun, really cool. I just did, every day was different, and they made me understand that when I first got there, it was like, you're not just gonna sit at your desk every day. Like, you can go downstairs, you can see the guys on the floor. Like, you have free reign of the company, which is really cool. And so that's how my company culture was like.
When you say the floor, can you give more details about what that entailed?
Yeah, so the floor for us is the manufacturing floor. So I had access to either the machine shop or the optical shop. So the optical shop was where they would produce their glasses. So they produce glasses for the smallest of things, for lasers or for the biggest of planes. So it was just a variety of different things going on in there. And then the machine shop was where, you know, any aluminum pieces, any metal pieces was going to be made. So it was pretty cool being down there. I got to talk to the guy specifically. And, you know, anytime I had a question with a drawing, I could go down there and ask for advice and any input they had and what I could make my design better. So it was really, you know, interactive job, which was nice. And I got to know a bunch of people in different departments.
That's nice.
So for me at Harvard, every day was almost kind of the same. So you started out, if there was any clients, any students, any teachers, faculty members that needed assistance, they were service first. All of our tasks were outlined on ServiceNow, so we basically knew from the beginning of the day what was going on, and if more and more people had issues, that's where we'd find them. Besides that, I also was a lab technician, so I would go out onto Harvard's campus, into their student dorms, and make sure that all their equipment, all their printers, all the computer labs were functioning properly.
It's a big campus.
Cool. Yeah. I only had one regen. It was broken up amongst all the co-ops.
Oh, that's useful.
Yeah, but I had the farthest one, so I got to go to the river every day, which is beautiful, so I'm not complaining.
Did you have, like, golf carts, or how did you get around?
You had to walk.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
get your exercise, then.
Oh, great exercise. I closed my rings every day. It was totally great.
Nice. So when you guys are thinking about that experience, and you can even reflect, if you had other co-ops, you want to reflect back to that, what was the biggest takeaway from those experiences, something you really enjoyed or a lesson that you learned that you would want to share with our audience?
So for both of my co-ops, I did IT, both of them with Harvard, and every day was all about learning new things. So you just kind of got an overview of all different parts of computer science and the IT world and all the issues with it. And I think that's what I liked most about them, and that's why I prefer to go into an IT field. That way I can continue learning and learn new topics and different parts of the computer world.
What about you, Gabby?
I would say that I learned lessons that I know is going to benefit me in the future career-wise, but I also learned aspects of, you know, what I'm learning in school that also helped me with that. But career-wise, like, my boss was a co-op when he first got there at Collins, so it was pretty cool to see how he progressed in his career. So then one lesson that he taught me was that it's okay for me right now not to know what I want to do in the future, because he didn't know. And, you know, it's just like most engineers want to just think ahead of, like, hey, this is my plan now, this is what my plan is going to be in the future, but your future can change no matter what. But then lesson-wise and education-wise, like, I being there was very helpful, and it taught me a lot about, you know, when you here in the classroom, you just, your professor's just teaching and you're grasping all that information, but you never know how to apply it. So going into the field and being at the co-op and applying what I am learning makes a better connection with what I'm learning now, and I have a better outlook on my education now, which is really cool.
That's really great. Thank you for sharing that. So kind of going along with, I think you both kind of touched on a little bit, you have that first level experience now. So now what are you going to be looking for? What's going to be your primary motivation in your co-op search? You know, is it location? Do you want to stay within a certain industry? You know, Kristen, you said you want to stay within IT. Mm-hmm. But what's your top priority in your next search?
I don't really know. For me, I would love to be able to stay in this area. Home is not far from here, so it would be easy to commute into the city. But my whole thing is I don't know what aspect of computer science I want to do. So I'm hoping that if I were to stay with IT, because it's such a learning environment, that I'll be able to learn more topics and things about computer science, hopefully web development, and be able to build my career off of that while still working.
Great. I would say that what's going to motivate me is, so I'm not from the Boston area, as you all know. I'm from Connecticut, so finding a company like Collins back in Connecticut, which is something I did want to go into, not that company specifically, but it all turned out great for me. I always wanted to work with private sectors, and Collins is a private sector, and it's a very different aspect than what I've been introduced to in, you know, high school internships and manufacturing companies. And what I learned at that co-op was that there is so much room for growth for myself in my career, and I feel like that's my biggest motivation, is I want to grow and not stay in the same position for like 10 years before I can get to that. You know, I've seen many people at that job who just entered at entry level and within 2 years are managers. So it's just something that motivates me to do that, because I feel like, you know, I need to have a goal to work towards, and, you know, that company show that there's if you put the effort in, it can be recognized.
Sure.
That's great, and that's definitely something to think about when you are, you know, conducting your co-op or full-time job search, is, you know, is there room for growth along with other benefits? Are there other benefits that you guys are thinking about in terms of what you're looking for? Like, you need 2 weeks of vacation, or, you know, the commute, you know, there's all these different things to consider.
I think the flexibility with time. Since from where I am right now to where Collins was for my last call, it was an hour away. Hmm. And so then being flexible with the time I can come in and leave was really helpful. Like, they had And for everyone in that company, it was really good. You can set your hours the day you want to, as long as you obviously let your boss know. But it was just more of like, if someone came in, was working at 7, and had to pick up their kids at 3, they could do that as long as they did their 8 hours that day, or more, depending on, you know, the job load. But it's just a company that can understand that not everyone's life is a 9-to-5 is really helpful. And that was another, you know, another thing I'm looking for. Just like, I don't want to be stuck in the same routine. And that company showed me that I don't need to.
That's great. Was there opportunities to work remotely as well, or?
Depending. I know there was one of the ladies I had in my group. She was a mother, and she was doing part-time. And so days that she wasn't on site, she was working remotely because she wanted to take care of her kids. So they, you know, they compensate. And she was there for almost 13 years. So they're you know, you've done enough for us. Why can't we just help you out when you're raising, you know, your little son back at home, which is really nice.
Yeah, that's nice. What about you, Kristen?
I completely agree with Gabby. At the moment, being able to have flexible hours isn't that big of a deal for me right now. I don't have anyone to take care of. But definitely further down the line, that is a super important thing, to be able to have my own schedule, to do what I need to do on my own time. And like Gabby said, not everyone has a life that can have a 9-to-5 like work day. Everyone needs to be flexible with it.
I think that's a trend we're seeing in general, and I'm jumping in here because I think it's really important that you don't have to be raising somebody at home to feel like you need flexibility with your hours. It's not something that should be just reserved for people with children. It's something that everybody deals with. There's all sorts of reasons why you would need a flexible work schedule, everything from your own mental health to just maybe you have a second job because that you, because of where you live, or maybe you want to have a second job, or you want to volunteer. And so having the flexibility, and I think we're seeing that more now. And it's more, both of you are saying right now that this is a priority. You need to be able to have a workplace where you feel that you're getting back what you're giving in, right? And I think that that's a trend that's not something that perhaps two generations removed from you were particularly used to seeing yet, right?
Yeah, totally, I agree.
Yeah, I definitely, how you mentioned mental health, those, like, mental health days are something that are, like, pretty important. And, like, going into my first co-op, I really didn't think, like, oh, I'll need a day to just, like, relax and, like, not work. It's not that IT is an easy job, but I knew what I was getting into. I knew I wasn't going to be stressed all day long. I knew I was going to have time to relax and kind of, like, take a moment to myself. But there were times where work was so much that I needed a day off, and I thankfully was able to talk to my supervisors and be like, listen, like, can I have a day just to recuperate and, like, relax and kind of get, like, everything back in order? And they were completely fine with it, which is super nice to be able to just be honest with an employer and just be like, I need a day. I just need one day to relax and figure my life out, and then I can come back recharged.
Can I ask you, was your manager, like, what age range of your manager that you had to talk to?
At my first co-op, my managers were older, but at my second co-op, my manager was probably 10 years older than me.
Interesting.
Both were very understanding of everything, though.
That's great to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I think, because one of the reasons that I know that this show is happening today is because right now we're reading a book, and that you all have probably been privy to us sitting there reading this book, but we're reading this book called iGen, which... I've heard iGen, I've heard Gen Z. I think the jury's still out on that one. But what I think what you guys are starting to touch on here is that it's, you no longer are asking for, you know, a salary and vacation time and healthcare benefits. That's like, those are just expected baseline things that you want from your employer. And so how you're going to navigate the workplace so that you can help make changes for future generations coming into the workplace, and also so that you can work in a way that's going to be productive for you. I think we're already seeing the two of you do that, which is fantastic, because being able to ask your supervisor for flexible time is not something that comes naturally to most people or is easy, especially, I think, as you get farther removed from Gen Z. I think people have a harder time asking for that, and I think they have a different perspective on what that looks like.
Right, totally. And just being able to be, like, advocate for yourself. Know when you do need to take that time, which sounds like you guys are awesome at. So kind of going backtracking a little bit, and I do want to touch on what you said, Kristen, when you were, you know, starting, this was probably your first full-time experience, mm-hmm. going from an academic setting where you might have, you know, 2-3 hour breaks in between classes. It's a big adjustment to go from, let's just say a straight 8-hour workday. What was the biggest difference for you guys, like jumping into full-time work? Specifically, how did you work with your peers and your colleagues?
So for both of my co-ops, it was very group-based, and the offices were open so that you could easily collaborate with anyone, which was a very nice, helpful thing. I mean, everyone had like a little like cubicle kind of, or like just like an open desk, but the IT world is very big on working as a team and working together, which is very nice, especially when starting out, you don't know everything at the moment, and that's okay, and it's okay not to know everything because you're not expected to. You're being thrown into a new environment and you don't really know what's going on, so it was very surprising almost how open everyone was and how it was okay to fail. And if you didn't know what to do, you just had to turn around and someone would be there to help, and everyone was very willing to help no matter like what the problem was.
Was that a big concern for you going into maybe your first co-op, is that, you know, you were worried that you wouldn't know everything, or were you
Oh, absolutely. I was terrified that I'd like mess up on the first day. But I spent like the first like hour and a half of my first shift just reading like the handbook on like how to go about everything, thinking I need to know all of this right now. Like I should have known this weeks ago. And I probably couldn't tell you half the things were in it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. Because if I needed to and I didn't know it, I could either look at the handbook or I could turn around and someone would help. Mm-hmm.
Did you find anything similar? Sorry.
For me, since, you know, Kristen has only had 2 co-ops, so, you know, you've learned for your second one, but this was my first co-op, and I was just going from straight being just, you know, almost 2.5, 3 years in just academics now to, you know, going into a co-op. What's a co-op? You know, how am I going to, what am I different from, you know, another employer? And, like, when I go, or employee, and I went in there, and it was scary adapting to long 8-hour days. And a lot of times I tell people, this is not your average co-op, because I was working for a private sector. And that's a lot different than just going in, you know, you clock in, you clock out. For me, it was, I charge every 6 minutes what I'm doing. So every 6 minutes, depending on what I'm doing or what project I'm working on, I'm charging a project. So in there, my biggest fear was not being able to adapt to that culture. It was completely different for me. I didn't know what it was, you know, going into. And then, you know, with my peers there, and you know, I was the only co-op in my optical manufacturing group, so everyone was older, had kids, you know, they had their, you know, everything settled out for them already. So then, you know, going in there, I felt like, you know, I was going to be able to relate to a lot of my peers, but it turned out to be completely different. No, they were just great people to be around, and anytime I had any questions about, hey, am I charging this correctly, or hey, am I doing this right, they were always ones to be like, hey, how about try it this way, or you know, you're doing great. You know, and then, like, I went in there having to learn a different program. So here we learned SolidWorks, and over there they learned Creo. I didn't know how to use that, so my boss actually connected me to one of the mechanical engineers upstairs, and he was always the go-to guy I could go to. And I always felt comfortable being like, hey, I'm having an issue with this. You know, can you come and help me really quickly? And just being, you know, for a first co-op, just being scared of having to ask for too much, because I always fear, like, if you ask for too much, your boss might think you don't know what you're doing. But for them, it was just like, no, ask as many questions as you need, because, you know, this is like an experience. We want you to learn. We don't want you to feel panicked about it. So I feel like just having, you know, reassurance in that was what was really good about being there.
So if you're just tuning in, when you first go on co-op, you may be scared that you don't know what you're doing, but when you get there, they'll teach you and they want you to learn and ask questions.
To always ask as many questions as you need. That's the one thing that they always, you know, say when you get there. Just ask.
And do you think you felt more comfortable going to your coworkers because you were in a smaller group rather than just, like, being on the floor and, like, who do you go to? Who might know this answer? That sort of thing.
Yeah, I think just when I went there, my boss established to me, like, this is our group, optical manufacturing, and there's the mechanical engineers upstairs, and there's, you know, electrical engineers over here. But he's like, you know, whenever you have a question, ask your group, you know, like, we will never, you know, put a cold shoulder. We'll never do that. You know, we want you to understand this. And just being in that small group of maybe like 12 of us, you know, they would be able to, like, oh, I don't know this question, but you know who you can ask this person in this department because I've had questions on this before. And so, like, because every project's different. So, like, anytime I'm starting a project or I'm starting a drawing, some of my projects, my peers might not know how to go about this project because they had something they haven't worked on or something they're not, you know, directly related to. So they'll be like, you know, you can ask the engineers upstairs. Or maybe, you know, like, if I had a question, I knew the person that could only answer was my boss, I'd go to my boss. So it was easy to establish who to go to when I had a certain question. Like, they made it really easy to give me all of the contacts and who, like, you know, for each problem that I had or came across, I could go to.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is really
great. I think this is a good time to take a break, and we're going to talk more about what it was like for you day to day in the workplace when we get back. Excited to be back. we got a little distracted there for a minute, so you might have heard some dead airspace.
But we're having a good conversation, which we will now continue.
Yes. So let's just jump in. So you've told us a little bit about your co-ops and your experience. You just kind of talked a little bit about what it was like to work on a project, Gabby, and I think it's so interesting that you were charging your time by 6-minute increments. But can you each talk a little bit about like the pace of the work on your co-op? Maybe you were working in an agile environment, you had project sprints, or you know, weekly meetings, that sort of thing. Can you talk about like what the general professional interactions were like when you were on co-op?
It was very interesting, I would say, because that company is more than, what I noticed is more than just, you know, you have 8 hours, get your work done. No, they like to incorporate a lot of meetings, a lot of, you know, because in the company they had a gym, they had a lot of, you know, yoga, they had things in between lunch. They also had another thing I was a part of was a Girls in Science. So I would sit with a few people in that group and we would go to a high school nearby and we would do science projects for girls, that, you know, so that we can increase the amount of STEM they get at the school. So it was pretty fun. And it's really,
that is so cool.
Yeah, no, it was really different. Like, I was just like, wow, you guys do so much. And, you know, there's a lot of more than just, you know, you're going in, you're just doing your work for 8 hours. It's a lot of different incorporations, a lot of meetings, a lot of, like, my boss went to a lot of different social events to, you know, promote the company. It was just a really cool. And but work-wise for me, my daily tasks could change. You know, when I first began, it was mostly, you know, the training. And then as I went on, it was like, okay, I'm doing drawings. And it's just like, that's, you know, the basic of what you do as an entry-level engineer. And then it twisted a little bit. Like, my boss didn't even understand that I was going to get into this. So I started getting into 3D printing, which wasn't, like, part of, like, being hired for. But, you know, just being able to talk to as many people as I could and just, you know, express my interest in it. I was able to do some projects with that, which, you know, that became more of, like, instead of, like, a week-to-week, you know, drawing every week, I would have to do it, and like it was like, you know, at least a month process for a project. You know, these projects that they work on go for like 10 to 12 years. It's not something that they finish, you know, in months, because it's like they're producing windows for different people. And so just being able to see some of my project, you know, just go along in just a few months I was there was not only, I found it really interesting, or, you know, it was good work from my part, but it showed that my boss was really impressed and was like, you know, you learned here, you adapted really great to this company, and you know, so I'm luckily he offered me to come back. So I am back there this fall. So it's just like, I think just, you know, if you go in with the mindset of just, you know, being open to what you get when you go to a job and not expect the everyday stuff, it just turns out to be something completely different, which is really fun. Yeah.
Cool.
Love it. Kristen, what about you?
So every day was pretty much like the same. We would start in the morning, we'd have a small debrief and like what's going on, if there were any reports from higher up in the IT department, because Harvard's massive and there's so many different departments that do all different things. So if the network department had an issue, they would let us know, that way we could catch any issues if clients and people were coming in. And then it was pretty much you go on your own. Everyone had their own ServiceNow account. So everyone was assigned tickets every single day, whether it was based off of your location of what labs you had, or if it was just something that they knew you could handle. So for me, because I worked already with Harvard before, they knew that I was really familiar with how the Harvard key system worked. So basically just like their email system and everything. So I got a good amount of those in comparison to some of the newer kids. But every week we would have to have our tickets fulfilled and completed. If not, then we'd have a slight meeting about like what's going on with it. You'd have to update every single day about what's going on. That way, if anyone needs to look at it, if an incident occurred previously, you could go back and look and see like how it's solved.
Awesome. And when you were, either of you, when you were doing this work, were you like multitasking, or were you really focusing more on one task at a time, one kind of project at a time?
For me, it was all about multitasking, just because everyone had a lot of, like, if a student had a problem, it's most likely other students had the same problem. And we'd all be based off of when they would respond. So you can't really sit around all day waiting for one person to respond when there's seven other people that need help doing other things.
No, priority lists were something I had to get down in just a few months. Like, it was, you know, when you start off, you just get the basic projects. But then as soon as people see you doing work or the, you know, your load of work is getting low, they'd like to, you know, provide more projects. And just some of the stuff I'd sometimes get, it was just, you know, this is just the basic works. I have enough time to do this. But sometimes I'd get thrown from a different project manager. Hey, can you do this? I need this done before this project under here. That's number five on your priority list. So, like, it was always a conversation I had with my boss. He would always be like, you know, if you need help determining your priority list, talk to me so we know where everything stands. And so that was multitasking was just like something I had to get down even better than what I had it when I entered.
And that's a great transferable skill in terms of making priorities. I mean, like, I do that every day myself. Like, you know, what's in front of me? What's on my list? What do I need to get done? What can wait like a day or two? And so that's really great that you had the opportunity to, you know, be involved in so many different projects so you could get a feel for, you know, what's urgent and what can wait.
Yeah, and it was definitely something that, you know, was different for me because I did, you know, first go up, didn't know what to expect. But just having, you know, to be, I was at the pace of other employees there. Like, I had priority lists like they did, or sometimes we had the same priority. So it was just pretty cool to just jump into that, you know, from just coming from somewhere that I didn't have to do that before.
And really exciting stuff, too. Plugging myself, there's a blog post coming out tomorrow about making a to-do list and prioritizing your work effectively.
Ooh.
Just throwing that out there, really relevant.
Very good.
Go on, Rhea, you had a question.
Yes, so going off of that, Gabby, when you talk about, you know, communicating with your supervisor and like these different project managers, how did you guys communicate? Did you like run over to their desk, or did you communicate over email, or did you have a different like type of thing? How'd it go?
So that company had an open door policy. So every project manager or supervisor had an open door. We can go in, ask questions if the door was open, which is really good to know. So I didn't have to ever wait to go run around and find them. I knew where they were most of the time. But when it came to different project managers being on different floors, or just like it was a big, big old company, you know,
sure,
having to walk around was a lot. You know, mostly I would send an email first. If I didn't hear back within like a timely manner, I'd be like, okay, I can give them a call. Or I can just go walk and find them. So, like, mostly it was just me walking around trying to go find them, because I found that more easier. Like, I can get my question answered directly.
Yeah.
Or sometimes in an email, what you're trying to ask gets lost.
Yep.
And so, and they're project managers, so they have a lot more going on than, you know, just, you know, me as doing drawings or being a co-op, you know. So it's easier to find them, and sometimes if they really needed me, they'd come find me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a really interesting layout of how everyone was, because we all had our own cubes, and, like, everyone's supervisor was like right in front of the each section of the cube in front of the cubes had every supervisor directed to our group, so we were always all in one section, so
that's
we
nice
could contact everyone,
yeah,
within our group if we needed to. But finding other people was a little harder, but it was easier to just go find than email.
And what about you, Kristen? Did you guys have any type of chat set up, or?
So we use Slack.
Perfect.
Just because, like, as I mentioned before, Hewitt is a massive department. And the only ones that were in my building was in the walk-in support center where I worked. So for that, if I was in the actual, like, office, then I could easily go over to someone's desk and talk to them. But because I was out in the field a lot, using Slack is the easiest way to communicate, just because everyone always has it on, like, either their phone or their laptop. Pretty quick responses, and just easier to communicate with either anyone at the WISC itself or anyone in the entire department.
And did you like communicating that way with your team and the people you were working with? Did you like the kind of, like, rapid response of Slack?
I did. I do think sometimes it's easier to communicate face-to-face, especially when, like, describing, like, a problem. Like, if a printer's knocked offline and you don't exactly know how to go about solving it, or, like, what exactly is wrong with it, I think it's a little easier to be, like, talking to someone or be able to, like, show someone. I mean, thankfully, Slack has the capability of you can put in images and videos and whatnot, but, I mean, it's super easy to use it, and it is great how fast of a response you can get, but for some things, I think it's better to talk face-to-face.
And what were the kind of demographics of, was it mostly just the co-op students, or people of your age using the Slack, or were the
supervisors? It was everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely everyone, and anyone in Hewitt itself, so every single department of IT.
Interesting. So were you, like, asked when you got there, like, download Slack? Mm-hmm. Was there an expectation that you would have it on your phone?
Nope, not at all. It was, I mean, I never used it before, so I had no idea how to really use it. It's pretty simple if you've never used it before. It's like every other, like, chat system. But there's certain private channels that I was included into, and then there's, like, general ones that has every single person in all of Hewitt, so a lot of people, but... Nope, there was no prior expectation of knowing how to use it, having it, or, like, anything about it.
When you're thinking about that type of system, if you're, you know, like, practically texting with people, mm-hmm. but it's kind of more professional environment, and if every single person in the entire, you know, department's reading those, is there any considerations you need to take into account?
I mean, you do have to be professional with it. I did have, like, a group chat with, like, the people I made friends with, and, like, we'd send, like, memes to each other, but...
Sure.
I mean, everyone, at least, like, in my office, very, like, funny, like, outgoing people, so, like, funny, like, pictures would be sent back and forth, but when it comes to, like, the bigger groups with, like, very important people, you have to be professional, mm-hmm. and that's something that, like, even if, like, I was just talking to them, you can't be disrespectful, like, even if it's someone, like, another co-op, you have to be able to, like, understand, like, there's a certain situation to make jokes, and there's certain situations to be serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really important to think about. I remember I was teaching Co-op Institute. We had a student come in and talk about their co-op experience and using, like, Slack or something like that mm-hmm. in the workplace. And the handle that they had picked for their name was something that was not appropriate. So lesson learned there. But definitely things to keep in mind.
I do want to also give a slight warning there, too. Even on your private channels, if you're part of, like, an organization's Slack or an organization's chat tool, there's a possibility that some teams can actually see the comprehensive things that are happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you might think it's a private conversation, but... the higher ups could be privy mm-hmm. to it. They might have some notification for certain buzzwords or whatever. And that's mm-hmm. not to say that that all organizations are doing that, but some do. So you need to remember that even on your private chats.
So keep it clean, people.
Yeah, even when it's a fun chat.
Do you think like Skype for Business too? Like all
platforms absolutely. Like that? You can, what's that called, Kristen? When you can track somebody's like keystrokes?
Could be
called keystroking.
It is, yeah. It just like... trying to see like what people are typing.
Yeah. So I mean, like they can do that with our emails. They can do it with our Skype for Business. They can do it with our. They can do it with anything.
It's a security thing. You don't want people sending inappropriate things or like confidential like information back and forth.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So keep it professional.
Yes.
I think I kind of wanted to wrap it up with this one last question. Thank you both for being here and sharing your experiences, which sound very different on very opposite sides of the spectrum, but it sounds like you both had great experiences. So I did want to ask, what can, speaking maybe directly to employers, what can they do to make a job attractive to you, how to make you feel comfortable? You talked about like the work-life balance, having flexible hours. So what's the most important thing there?
I think just, like, employers understanding that either, like, recent grads or even co-op students, they have a lot going on. I mean, like, when I, like, I don't know what I want to do when I graduate this summer, but it would be nice just to be with an employer that understands that I'm starting my life now. I don't know what I'm doing, and, like, just to be, like, allowed to be panicked and be worried and be able to take some time to relax and remember, like, it's okay, like, to be stressed and to not know what you want to do. I think that's a very important thing.
I would agree with Kristen. It's just knowing that us going into something so different that we're not used to, just having a little months of experience doing it in our co-ops, you know, eventually for full-time, that we still haven't figured out our lives yet. We still either going into, you know, a familiar co-op that you've been doing or a different company, we're going in there with just book knowledge. We don't have life knowledge yet, is what my parents like to say it. Like, so when we're going in there, you know, there's so much that outside from what we read in the textbook that we need to learn. And so we go in there just, you know, having patience with us to learn at our pace, I think that is the best thing that they can do, is just, you know, have us learn it our way. And then, you know, adapt to the company for a few, and then, you know, let the large workload begins, which is what I figured when my co-op was what they did, which was really good. They let me figure out the system, they let me figure out how to use Creo, and then my workload started coming in. So I feel like with that, if employers apply that to, you know, new hires for you know, full-time and for our co-ops, then I think that'd be great.
Yeah, it's definitely a culture shock going from class all day to now working all day. And to have a transition period to kind of get used to that and adjusted, and, you know, getting up at a different time and your commute and everything is really a good idea.
This has been fantastic. I think we've all learned a lot. Hopefully our employers are listening and have learned quite a bit. And we'll take some action items away. So now is the time where we start updating you about what's going on. We have tomorrow, Rhea is hosting a salary negotiation workshop. What time and where, Rhea?
Yes, tomorrow, 11 to 12 in the conference room on the first floor of the CEIS building. We will be talking about job offers and salary negotiation. I'd love to see you before you pop over to the free barbecue with President Thompson.
Oh, nice plug there, Rhea. Definitely go to Rhea's salary negotiation, though. There's always room for negotiation somewhere, and you should at least, you don't know if you can have it unless you ask. So it's just really important skills that you should take with you. And it's different going into a full-time. So if you're
definitely
a senior, you definitely want to be going to this. And then the other exciting thing that we have coming up is on June 13th, we don't have this coming up, it's Tech Jam, which is an event in the city of Boston, and it's a networking opportunity, it's kind of a block party. Kristen, I think you went last year, would you like to talk a little bit about it?
I did go, it was a lot of fun, it was a beautiful day, which also helped, but it's just a ton of companies that are all there just wanting to have a good time. There's food, there were dogs last year, but it's a really great networking experience, and it's a very different type of networking experience, especially compared to the career fair, which is more serious. I mean, still a great opportunity, but Tech Jam is a lot more relaxed. I mean, people are in like jeans and t-shirts, they're just hanging out, having casual conversations, but it's all about meeting people on a different level and networking on a different level.
I love it.
There's going to be a ton of employers there, so definitely check out their website. And tickets for students, I think, are around $10. So definitely check out their website and get tickets so you can go and network with employers.
And Rhea's going to be there. And
I'm going to be
Sarah
there.
Sarah Dell,
I'm
right?
going to be volunteering. Yep, and Sarah Dell. We're going to be volunteering to help employers get set up in our thing. So come find us if you want to chat.
And if you have any questions beforehand about the registration fee or getting there or anything like that, always stop into the office to ask us about that if you need some help, right?
Definitely.
So I think that's it for us. Follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at WIT Co-ops and Careers. We're on the first floor of Wentworth Hall, so you can always stop by 101 Wentworth Hall.
And actually, if you stop by right now, Woods Hole is in the office doing drop-in hours. So if you have a resume, a cover letter you want to get looked at really quickly by an employer from the industry, we have two engineers from Woods Hole in the office.
Woods Hole is the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute.
Yeah, you take that. I wasn't going to. Hooey.
Very cool stuff. Yes, they go by Hooey. Yeah, and they're looking for mechanical.
Computer engineering, computer science, electrical engineers. Yeah, all types of students. And they work a lot with underwater robotic, manned and unmanned underwater vehicles.
I think really we cool. actually have a blog post about a co-op at Hooey or a visit we did to Hooey. So look that up. I think if you look up Woods Hole on coopsandcareers.wit.edu, you're going to find it. So if you want to learn more. But they're really excited to be here, so go say hi to them. And if you want just regular drop-in hours, those are Wednesdays and Thursdays, 2 to 4 in our office. That's going to do it for us today. Have a great week, everyone.
Bye. Thank you for listening.